Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. A beautiful, beautiful spring day. And today we're going to talk today on the show about suffering. And you're thinking, why in the world are you going to talk about that? Because it's Lent. And it's a big theme right now. And we're going to be talking today with Patty Necht and also with Bob Hindle. Both are associated with Living Stations of the Cross that are going on in the Twin Cities at this time of the year. And we want to bring you in on that. So we're going to be talking about redemptive suffering and the power of redemptive suffering. And specifically, when we talk about redemptive suffering, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's kind of a downer topic. It actually isn't. It's actually one of the best topics in the world, and it's great news, and it can absolutely change your life. And I'm not talking about just changing your life in terms of joining yourself to Christ and helping in redeeming the world, but I'm talking about literally your emotional well-being, your spiritual well-being. It will pick you up. It'll give meaning to your suffering. And I know I remember what Pope John Paul II said, or should I say Saint John Paul II, he said that if you cannot attach meaning to your suffering, you can go into despair. And that's something that you don't want to do. And so we're going to attach meaning to it today as we talk a little bit about suffering. And hey, we just had a great men's conference this last weekend. I don't know how many of you guys were there. About 1,300 showed up at St. Thomas to hear Father Rich Simon and Archbishop Neinsted and Father Bill Baer. We just had a great time. Connor Flanagan sang some great music, but it was a great turnout. It's always good to hear from the men of the Archdiocese as they come together to encourage one another and stand in solidarity with one another. We made two big announcements, which you will hear a lot about in the coming weeks and months. One is that we are announcing an initiative. In fact, we did this last weekend, where we're going to have every father and his sons come together and learn about the Mass. We're going to have some teaching Masses around the Archdiocese. We'll announce those a little bit later. But I think it's a real unique time for fathers and sons to come together to learn about the Mass. If you're like me, when I was growing up, a young boy in Bloomington and Chanhassen, I thought the Mass was boring. I found out I was boring. But if you think the Mass is boring, it means that you either are not paying attention or you don't know what's happening in the Mass. Because once you know what is happening in the Mass, it's something that you really look forward to. And it's a great, great union with Christ. The second thing that we announced this last weekend was an initiative that we call Every Child Reads the Bible. One of the problems that we have is that many of our Catholic kids are growing up, and by the time they reach junior high, they have never, ever had a meaningful experience in reading the Bible as a story, as a complete narrative from beginning to end. And we've put together some really great, great materials with the help of my wife and some ladies that are working with Emily, and we're going to ask fathers to read to their kids and take 10 minutes a day for 6 months to read through the Bible. And, you know, we do two things with this. One is that they learn the story of salvation history. The other is that you spend time with your kids. And a lot of fathers don't spend that quality time with their kids. In fact, some of the statistics show that very, very few fathers will have a meaningful experience with their kids when it comes to sharing the faith. Well, we want to do something about that. So I'm going to ask you to spread the word and start to prepare for this, because we're going to roll this out in the weeks ahead. So I'd like you to stay tuned. This show today, we're going to talk about redemptive suffering. Look, I don't know what you're going through right now, whether it's physical suffering. Are you waiting for a doctor's report? Did you just have an accident? Are you struggling with cancer? in your life right now? If it's not physical suffering, is it moral suffering? And that is the suffering of the heart, the emotions. Maybe you lost a family member and you're just grieving. You're coming up on Easter. It'll be the first time that you've experienced Easter without that special person in your life. I don't know whether it is physical or what we call moral suffering, but I want you to know this. There is meaning in your suffering. And if you can attach meaning to your suffering, my friend, not only can you go through anything, but you can be a part of changing this world. So I want you to stay tuned to this show. And in fact, if you know of somebody right now and you're thinking to yourself, my aunt needs to hear this, my husband needs to hear this, my colleague at work needs to hear this, I want you to take just a moment and call them right now and tune in here to Relevant Radio and tell them, you know, I don't know why, but I really feel like you need to listen to this show about suffering. So coming up later on in the show, we're going to talk with Patty Necht and also Bob Hindle about Living Stations of the Cross. But before that, let's dive into this topic of suffering. You're listening to Relevant Radio. This is the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back right after this. Rediscover.
This is Carrie Becker of Becker Building and Remodeling, here to talk to you about kitchen remodeling. Have you been considering a new kitchen? Well, consider this. We're experts when it comes to kitchens. Our straightforward design and remodel process will take the guesswork and stress out of the project for you. Our pricing is very competitive, comprehensive, and guaranteed. And our typical kitchen remodel time is only 15 days. Our kitchen remodels include beautiful custom cabinets, granite countertops, center islands, and more. And of course, we'll remove those walls that are no longer needed. Please call me today at 612-363-0493 for a free consultation about your new kitchen. Or go to our website, choosebecker.com. In the meantime, keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Carrie Becker, owner of Becker Building and Remodeling, 612-363-0493, a Catholic-owned business you can trust.
You don't need to be able to answer every question and objection or prove every doctrine from the Bible.
Dr. Scott Hahn.
As Pope Francis points out in The Joy of the Gospel, that's what it takes. Joy is irrefutable because it's not an argument waiting for a rebuttal. It's just a shared experience in the context of friendship. And that's the way we reach people, whether we're at work with them or at home, family members who've kind of drifted off. Joy is the one thing that people find irresistible.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Relevant Radio.
I'll find you there. I'll find you there. It's here that I call out. It's here that I fall down.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, Director of the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis for this great Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, I want to encourage you today in whatever you're going through and what type of suffering you're going through in your life. I know it's Lent right now, and we're really focusing on mortifying the flesh. That is, you know, focusing on our spiritual growth, going without some things so we can focus on some things that we should be focusing on. But I'm also very aware that as you're driving around in the Twin Cities right now listening to the show, maybe there's a lot on your mind. Maybe there's a lot on your mind in your marriage, your children, your finances, your health, your job security, whatever it might be. Maybe you are living without a loved one for the first time going into this spring, and that's been very, very difficult. I want to encourage you. You know, when we talk about suffering, you can run the gamut all the way from you're just not having a good day, a less than ideal day, all the way to very, very serious illness like cancer or you know, you've been in a serious accident and you've lost the use of your limbs, whatever it might be. Whatever you're going through right now, I want to encourage you in this. There's meaning in that suffering, but there's only meaning in that suffering if it is joined to Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you just a little bit later on how you actually do that. I think one of the biggest problems that we face is not so much the big ticket items like cancer and heart disease and broken legs and things like that, but I think one of the things that we face more often is what you perhaps are facing today, and that is you woke up this morning and you had this idea of what an ideal day was going to look like on a beautiful, beautiful spring day. You were going to engage in things that you're gifted at, things you like, things that people affirm you in, things that feel good, things that, you know, that you're talented at and so forth, and there's very little strain in your life. But then when you woke up, real life hit you right in the face. So you woke up with this idea of what today would be like, ideal life, but real life hits you in the face. Your laundry wasn't done like you thought it was going to be when you woke up. The kids were late getting to school, and they needed you to bring them over there. Your husband says, you know what, I got called out of town, and I'm not going to be home for the weekend, and you had big plans for the weekend. Whatever it is, your real life has kind of collided with your ideal life. And when that happens, here's the problem, is that when real life hits ideal life, sometimes we blame other people. Like, I might have big plans for this weekend, and all of a sudden, you know, tonight before we go to bed, my wife says, oh, remember, tomorrow we're going to St. Cloud. I said, what do you mean we're going to St. Cloud tomorrow? I got big plans tomorrow. We're going to relax, clean the garage and so forth. She said, didn't I tell you? No. Isn't it on the schedule? No. We're going to a wedding in St. Cloud. My sister's best friend, butcher's brother's next door neighbor is getting married. I'm saying, what? And suddenly my weekend is shot. Shot is a Greek for ruined. and suddenly my weekend is ruined. It's less than an ideal weekend. And here's what happens. We blame people. We run. We self-medicate. We escape. We get angry and we blow up. And so our less than ideal days, here's what happens in our life. Because we expect to live an ideal life, what happens is, and this is the biggest tragedy, is that only about 30, you can come up with the percentage yourself, but only about 30 to 40% of our day is what we would call really living. I was only living today like 30 or 40%. Well, what were you doing with the other 60%? Putting up with, just putting up with today, putting up with my husband, putting up with the kids, putting up with this or that. Listen, that is not the way that Jesus, it's not what he called us to live like, is to just put up with 50% of our life or 60% of our life and only live 40. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, first of all, there's two kinds of suffering. There's physical suffering, and that is a broken leg or the flu or whatever it might be, a bad cold or cancer. But then there's also what John Paul II calls moral suffering, which is really the broken heart. And if you're like me, you would probably say, I would rather go through physical suffering any day than a broken heart. And I'm with you. I'm with you there. But he also says there's two types. There's two kinds and there's two types. And there's two types of suffering. There's temporal suffering, and there's also what John Paul II called definitive suffering. Now, definitive suffering is, imagine your worst day ever. And I'm not going to keep you here for long because I know that's hard to think about, but imagine your worst day ever. You got it? Now, do that forever. Do that for 1 million years, 10 million years, 1 billion years, forever and ever and ever. Forever is a long, long time, especially as you get towards the end. It kind of just keeps on going. That's definitive suffering. It's life without God forever. And what Jesus came to do is Jesus came to redeem us so that we could be with him forever and ever and ever. And get this, he utilizes physical suffering and the suffering of the heart to redeem us and purchase us. And so the perfect expression of love from the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the perfect expression of love was sacrificial self-emptying, giving himself for you. Now think for just a moment. Could he have saved you, redeemed you another way? Well, he's God. I imagine he could have done anything he wanted. He could have snapped his fingers and and said you're all redeemed. He could have created you in such a way that you never had the choice of falling in the first place with original sin and our original appearance. There's a lot of things I suppose he could have done. But the reality is that when you were lost in your sin, when you were on your way to hell, he chose to purchase you and save you by suffering for you and paying the price that we deserved. We'd all fallen short of the glory of God, and he chose to redeem us by loving us by giving his life and suffering. So we know that. That's just a theological truth, is that Jesus loved you so much that he suffered for you. Now, at this point, we've got a problem in dealing with our suffering, because we oftentimes have the notion that if God loves me and if God has redeemed me, that means that I shouldn't have to suffer myself now. Well, the truth of the matter is there are consequences to sin. And there are consequences to original sin, which our first parents, Adam and Eve, got us into. We're all born with original sin, and we deal with what the church calls concupiscence, which is this disordered self-centeredness, this tendency to sin. You see, suffering is a part of the human condition today because of the fall. And the fact that Jesus died for us and suffered for us does not mean that there won't be any suffering in the world today. There won't be in heaven, we know that. But it doesn't mean that there won't be suffering in the world today, but it does mean something. It means this. Two things. Number one, you are purchased by God. You are redeemed by God. But it also means that he has even redeemed your suffering. He has made your suffering valuable now if you are joined with him. Now, you have to ask the question, well, why would I suffer if Jesus suffered for me? And if he loves me, why would he invite me to join him in his suffering? And those are really, really good questions. Those are excellent questions. Why does he not just deliver me from suffering? Well, there's a number of answers to that, but let me start by saying this. When Jesus came to die for us, he also made us his body. The church is the body of Christ. And one thing that we know in looking at the Gospels is that everything that Jesus did, we do. Everything that he did as part of his mission, the mission of the Messiah, he shares with his body. You see, that's how close we are. There's two ways of looking at this, and frankly, one of them is very much an American gospel, and that is this. Jesus did everything for me. He died for me. He redeemed me. He's my shepherd. He's my counselor. He's my healer. He suffered for me. Therefore, I don't do any of these things. All I do as a king's kid is just receive, 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 and I can have what I say, and I can confess his word, and it's all mine. Well, the problem with that is that's unbiblical. It's not in the Bible. You'll never find that view of the body of Christ's relationship to the head. You'll never find that. What you will find, however, is that the Messiah, Jesus, shares everything with his body, the church. So, in other words, Jesus is the one who is the intercessor between God and men. He's the intercessor between God and men. He is the one who prays on our behalf. Yet, he shares that intercessory role with the church and says, pray in my name. Paul, Peter, all of them, pray in my name. Pray in my name. In other words, we're called to participate with him in his mission. He's the judge, no doubt. Yet he says we will be judging with him. Is he not the good shepherd? He is. But he shares that shepherding role with priests, bishops, cardinals, and most perfectly with the Holy Father, Pope Francis. He's not only the judge, he's not only the shepherd, he's not only the intercessor, he's the healer. Is he? Is he not? He's the healer. Yet he shares that healing ministry with the church in the sacrament of healing, confession, and the anointing of the sick. You see, every aspect of Jesus' mission, he shares with the church. He doesn't come to earth, do everything, and then say, look, I did everything. You guys just relax and enjoy until you get to heaven. He says, no, we got a lot of work to do in every generation, and I want you to participate with me. So I'm going to share all of these tasks with you. But what about suffering? That, too, is shared with the body. You know, Paul wrote to the Colossians, and he said, in Colossians 1:24, he said, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and I fill up that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Oh, wait a minute. Wait just a minute, Paul. Say that again. What did you say to the Colossians? He says, I said, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. I know, Paul, I heard that, but that next part is confusing to me. What did you say? And I fill up in my body that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. That's what I thought you said, lacking. Lacking. What could be lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Did Jesus, like, suffer, die, buried, rose from the dead? Did he ascend and go to the Father and say, oopsie-daisy, we only got 98% of it. We have made one big mistake here. We only got 98% of the suffering. The church is going to have to do 2% more. I feel so bad about this, but that's the way it is. Of course not. So did Jesus pay the entire price for you on the cross? Did he restore us by his death, burial, and resurrection? Yes, he did. So what's lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Well, St. Augustine wrestled with this many, many years ago. And you know what his conclusion was? His conclusion was that what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ is the participation of the mystical body of Christ. In other words, we have a role to play today in that we can take our suffering and join it by an act of the will to the cross of Jesus, which, by the way, is coming up, Good Friday. And when we join our suffering to the cross of Jesus, guess what? Your suffering is changed. It's redeemed. It's valuable. And so, St. Augustine, that was the conclusion he came to. St. John Paul II, you know, his conclusion from his great document, Salvifici Doloris, and the meaning of human suffering, he talks about how our suffering is joined with Christ's suffering, so that we can experience what it is to love the world as Christ loves the world. How did he love the world? He sacrificed himself. How do we love the world? We join our sacrifice to his. It's not that he didn't do it all, but in his loving mercy, and God the Father in his fatherly role has decided, and you can read this in Salvifici Doloris, John Paul II said that you have in your suffering, broken leg, broken heart, whatever it is, you have, listen to this, a particle. You know what a particle is? A particle's part of a coal. No. A particle is a very small part of the infinite treasury of God's redemption. You have a particle. And he has made room in his suffering for you to participate so that you can work with him in redeeming the world and you can know what it is to love as God loves. But that's up to you. That's totally up to you. You can waste your suffering. As Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, hospitals are filled with wasted suffering. Or you can make the most out of it. And I'm talking about not just cancer. I'm not talking about broken legs or a spouse that left and the broken heart. I'm talking about today, your less than ideal day. You can offer today up so your laundry wasn't done. Offer it up. You say, well, that sounds kind of trivial. Well, yeah, but these trivial things, these little foxes, you know, that they ruin days for people. You add up 4 or 5 little trivial things today, and you end up with a day that is less than ideal, but you don't have to just sit and put up with it. You can offer this up and say, you know what, Lord, so maybe my day, maybe my weekend did get screwed up a little bit. That's okay. I'm going to offer this up, this discomfort that I am experiencing. You can offer that up all the way up to the big ticket items, and they can become valuable currency in God's kingdom. In my book, which is coming out October 9th, When You Suffer, put out by Servant, it'll be out October 9th. You can find the pre-order on Amazon. But in there, I mentioned that suffering, in a way, is like heavenly cash. It's heavenly cash. And that means that you literally can spend this on your children. Your suffering can produce heavenly cash if you offer it up in union with Christ. And you can say, Jesus, and Pope John Paul tells us that we can do this in Salvifici Dolores. You can say, Jesus, I offer up this less than ideal day for my daughter, for her conversion. I offer up this broken leg for my son, for my pastor, for my spouse. I came across a magnificent quote, and it's by a lady about 100 years ago. Her name is Margaret, and she has a great quote. You know, I mentioned that suffering is like heavenly cash. She said, and I quote, and it's a beautiful quote, she said, suffering is an amazing coin. Suffering is an amazing coin where you can purchase what cannot be bought. I love that. It's an amazing coin that can purchase what cannot be bought. What can't be bought? The salvation of your kids. Why? Because it's already been bought by Jesus. And he gives you an opportunity in your suffering to grab a hold of that amazing coin, that heavenly cash, and make it work. But it isn't going to happen by accident. Today won't be redeemed. That broken leg won't be redeemed and made valuable unless you exercise your will. And you say, Lord, I'm going to suffer the way you suffered, and I'm going to join this suffering to your cross, and I'm going to make this count. Now, we're coming up next week. Next week, we won't have a show, but next week is Holy Week. And on Good Friday is the day where we venerate the cross. And here's what I'm going to suggest that you do, is that on Good Friday, when you venerate the cross, when you go up and you kiss that cross or you touch that cross, whatever you're going through in your life right now, whatever you're suffering physically or morally in the heart, I want you to say, you can even say it out loud, Jesus, I join my cross to yours. You know, we're going to share in the sufferings of Christ, but Peter tells us that if we share in the sufferings of Christ, we'll also share in his glory. If your idea of life is simply coasting by and taking all the promises of Jesus and saying, this is going to be my life, it's a bowl of cherries, and I'm just going to share all in the glory of Christ without sharing in the suffering, my friend, Protestant, Catholic, that's unbiblical, and it doesn't work. You take all of Christ. You take all of his mission. Paul put it this way in Philippians. I love it. He said, I have learned to live with a little, and I have learned to live with a lot. In other words, he knows how to live when he's suffering. He knows how to live when it's joyful and glorious. He says, here's the secret. He said, the secret is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you like to live that kind of a life where you could live 100% of every day, and your less than ideal day can be valuable, and your ideal day can be glorious? That's living in Christ. And so I'm inviting you right now to join me in offering up whatever it is you're going through right now and offering it up to Jesus. Will you pray with me right now before we take a break? When we come back, we're going to be talking to two guests about the living stations of the cross, the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. We're going to incorporate all of this together, but would you pray with me right now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Amen. Jesus, I lift up to you all of our listeners to the Rediscover Hour who are suffering right now. And Lord, I lift up to you the areas in my own life that I am suffering. And I join my suffering to you. You said that if you're going to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross and follow me. And Lord, today we, with an act of the will, pick up our cross and we join it to your cross. And we thank you for infusing our crosses with your divine power and making our crosses a counterforce to do good and to bring about redemption in the world. Lord, give us the gift of knowing what it is to suffer as you suffered and to love as you love. To you be all the glory during this Lenten season. And we pray, Lord, that this coming Holy Week will be truly a week of triumph as we bring our cross to yours. And we experience the glorious resurrection on the other side of the suffering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to be talking about the stations of the cross. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
The family of Washburn McCreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services has proudly served the Twin Cities area for five generations. No matter which of the 16 locations you choose, you will always find an exceptional level of professionalism and care to a tribute of life. Washburn McCreevy's traditional approach to these tributes will allow survivors to love, laugh, and live well again, even after their loss. Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with the time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. You live your life to the fullest, knowing your wishes will be honored. Washburn McCreevy even has a pre-planning checklist or online form so that you can start the process with the ultimate privacy. Have one sent to you free by calling 612-377-7841. The family of Washburn McCreevy Funeral Chapels, Cemeteries, and Cremation Services continues to present the Daily Mass evenings on Relevant Radio, 612-377-7841.
Teach the children. Teach the children.
Get with the Lord, there is mercy.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. It's good to have you with us once again. It's every week we get an opportunity to touch base and talk about issues facing our lives with an emphasis on evangelization and catechesis. And if you just joined us, I encourage you to go back and get the archived edition of this show on Relevant Radio because we just spent about 25 minutes going through redemptive suffering and what that means and how we actually offer it up and join our suffering with Christ. You know, every year I get to go to Israel. I'm so blessed I get to go to Israel. And part of our pilgrimage is always walking the Via Dolorosa. We start off at the base of the Mount of Olives and we cross the Kidron Valley and we go into the area where Jesus was tried. And then we walk the way of the cross. And there's something about walking the way Jesus did with the cross that really, really drives home this point that not only did he suffer and die for us, but that we are called to walk as he walked and to pick up our own cross. Many of you are familiar with the Stations of the Cross, And there's a great organization, Servants of the Cross, founded by Patty Neck. And Servants of the Cross is a group of youth and adults who have a vision that the world really needs to know about, and that is the sufferings of Christ. And so through service events and presenting living Stations of the Cross every Lent, and they have yearly retreats, these young people are growing more and more in love with Jesus and are also forming lasting relationships. So joining us from the Twin Cities here, St. Peter's, is Patty Necht. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And we're at that time of the year again where, you know, before we know it, Lent will be here again already. But we're going through Lent. We have Holy Week coming up. And really the focus of this is the way of the cross. And tell us a little bit about Servants of the Cross and how it started, what you're doing in the Twin Cities.
Well, it's interesting. It's been an evolution of sorts, I would say. Back in 1998, I was a member of the Church of St. Peter in North St. Paul, and there was a pastor there. He was actually an associate pastor named George Colliff, and he invited us to bring our children to something called the Little Petals of St. Therese. Mm. And so I brought my oldest daughter, and I became one of the leaders of that group. And we had teens who also helped with that group. Well, these teens eventually grew to really have a great relationship with one another and wanted to do something more. And so we started putting on the Living Stations. And from there, we developed into this family ministry, which has just tried to make this one of the kind of the bookends of our year, including the other bookend would be our retreat in the summer.
You say a family event. Your family is involved.
Absolutely.
And when you talk about the Living Stations of the Cross, kind of we're dealing with radio and we're talking about a visual thing. Describe to it. What if people come, and we're going to give some dates coming up here where people can actually go and be a part of this, but what will they experience?
Well, this is a little, maybe a little bit different. This really is a prayer for us. This is not a performance. And so these kids, we kind of go on a Lenten journey together. We've made it this is their sacrifice and their offering. And we every time we gather, one of our patrons is Saint Faustina, and we pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy at each practice and at each event, just trying to unite ourselves, like you said, in our daily life to the cross, teaching these kids that suffering is something that we all go through, and their sacrifice means something.
In light of what we were talking about before the break on offering up your suffering and carrying your own cross, I can't imagine a better way to realize that than to actually witness the Stations of the Cross or to participate in the Stations of the Cross, which is something that we do every Friday during Lent as a family, go to our local parish and participate in that. But while you're watching and listening to the Stations of the Cross, you can actively participate. It's not an observer sport, it's a participant type of thing, right?
Absolutely. You know, we... when I wrote this, I really believe that the Holy Spirit guided me, because I don't have these words. And in each station, we try to link it to something present day. You know, what we're all going through. Mm-hmm. You know, Christ went through the suffering, and each station, you know, speaks to us, because we all go through the falls. We all go through being betrayed one time or another in our lives, and right. We can identify with Christ, and we try to join, you know, our suffering with His and grow in it. And these kids are amazing. They've taught me so much.
And what are the age levels?
You know, we have kids that are 8 all the way up till in their 20s. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of the kids who's now a young adult and has 2 children of his own was one of he portrayed Jesus at one time. He is now one of the directors. And he said, Patty, I want this to go on for my own children, because it had a huge impact in my life. He is in the Marines, and he was over in Kuwait, and he spent one of his first Easters and Good Fridays in Kuwait. And he said, I remember sitting there in my gear, holding my gun and thinking, I miss this. Mm-hmm. It was an important part of my life. And now he'll carry the reins, I think, you know, as I grow older and it's time for the new generation to take this over. I really am amazed at how God has worked through this in my life and theirs.
What do you hear from those who attend and are watching? What kind of comments do they give you?
You know, I've had people come up to me with tears in their eyes. I've had... last year, I had an anonymous young man write me a letter, and he wrote, I'm suffering with cancer, and I came to watch your stations, and you cannot stop this. It touched me so deeply in a way I've never been touched before. And that in itself would be worth it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a listen here to the Stations of the Cross. Tell us what we're about to listen to.
I believe you're going to listen to the first few Stations of the Cross in the narrative, and you'll see how it's linked to today's life. And then we also have a song that's attached to each station, which you'll recognize.
We're talking with Patty Necht, and this is part of Servants of the Cross. And what you're going to hear now is you're going to hear the audio of the Stations of the Cross, and they're going to be performing this and living this four times in the next week, and I'm going to give you those in just a moment, what time, where, but take a listen right now. This is the Servants of the Cross.
The Living Stations of the Cross. If anyone wants to come with me, he or she must put aside self-interest and then pick up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it.
The First Station. Jesus is condemned to death.
When Pilate saw that it was no use to go on, but that a riot might break out, he took some water and washed his hands in front of the crowd and said, "I am not responsible for the death of this man. This is your doing." He had Jesus scourged and handed him over to be crucified.
We see Jesus every day in the eyes of those persecuted for their beliefs, heritage, and differences. We condemn with our words, with our actions, with our indifference. Jesus knows what is in our hearts. He knows the truth is there amidst the lies of the world. Jesus calls us not to judge, but rather be just witnesses of his truth.
And that's just a little excerpt, a little taste of Servants of the Cross. This is the Living Stations of the Cross. Our guest today is Patty Necht, and that sounds beautiful. And I want to encourage people to do that this Lenten season, to attend one of the Living Stations of the Cross. We got just a little bit of a taste there. Now, I know on Palm Sunday, you're going to be at St. Peter's, right?
That's right.
And that will be at 3 p.m. And St. Peter's is in North St. Paul. Easy to Google, and I imagine that the information's also on your website.
Absolutely.
Give us your website.
ServantsOfTheCrossMN.com.
ServantsOfTheCrossMN.com. So Palm Sunday, that's this coming week. We have 3 p.m. at St. Peter, and then Good Friday, you're going to be doing this three times on April 3rd on Good Friday. Tell us where you're going to be.
We are going to be at noon. We'll be at Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Maplewood.
Okay.
At 3 p.m., we'll be at St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi, Minnesota. And at 7 p.m., we'll be at the Church of the Blessed Sacrament, which was formerly St. Thomas the Apostle, and that's in St. Paul.
Okay, so Friday, Good Friday, you'll be 12 noon. Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, 3 o'clock, St. Jude of the Lake, 7 p.m., Blessed Sacrament. If you're hearing this after that moment, they will not be taking place. But we do encourage you to go and to participate in this. And Patty, I'd like to ask you, if someone's listening right now saying, "Boy, I'd like to be a part of that type of thing someday," how do you gain new actors, new contributors?
You know, if you go to our website, there is a way to connect with us on a Gmail, and I will be happy to get back to you. So just contact us, servantsofthecross@gmail.com, and I'll get back with you.
Very good. That's Patty Necht, and she is the founder of Servants of the Cross. Go join them this Good Friday. Go join them. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about a passion play in the Twin Cities that you also might want to attend. God bless you. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Raise your hand. Raise it if you aren't a busy person. Hi, Bob Bennis for Relevant Radio. Everybody's busy. Busy people need reminders, need invitations, sometimes a top-of-mind nudge, or maybe a bold push. Here's attorney Michelle McDonald.
Tell me about a time that someone has mentioned hearing you on Relevant Radio.
All the time, people say that they've heard me on Relevant Radio, know about my law firm due to the fact that I advertise on Relevant Radio, and it feels as if they know me personally.
And what benefits, either spiritual or economical, did you receive from being a sponsor on Relevant Radio?
I listen regularly to Relevant Radio in my car, at home, and Relevant Radio has also helped get our law firm and Family Innocence on the map.
Remind busy people about your business with Relevant Radio. Email us at businessbuilding@relevantradio.com.
Peace is flowing like a river.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. You can hear these shows. They're archived, and you can go back and listen. You can also go to our website, archspm.org. We're talking about the Living Stations of the Cross, and my next guest is Bob Hindle. And Bob Hindle has been working with Personhood Minnesota, formerly Neighbors for Life, and he used to be a regular guest on City Winds. And he's here to talk about the Passion Play at St. Casimir Church. Bob, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Nice to talk to you, Jeff.
Oh, it's good to have you. Good to have you on the show. This is a great time of the year. We're in our Lenten time of the year right now, where we're really focusing on the Passion of Jesus Christ. And you have your third annual Passion Play coming up. You call it the King of Love. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, the King of Love, of course, because Christ's great offering on the cross is an offering of love, and the play is, it's a musical, it has narration, it has about 25 songs. It's a little bit like the Messiah. It has solos, duets, choruses, tells the story, of course, from the perspective of Jesus and the apostles and Pontius Pilate and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, also the Blessed Virgin, Veronica and Mary Magdalene. It also has scriptural quotes from Isaiah interspersed in the narration.
Mm-hmm. How many people are participating in this?
Okay, so what we have are, this time, four singers from various... we have Bill O'Brien, who's doing Jesus. He's up at St. Peter's in North St. Paul. And Tobin Scott, who's doing the Blessed Virgin, and she's been at St. Thomas University. We have John Steinert, who's doing the parts of Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate. And we have Joe Carlson from St. Agnes, who's doing Judas and John the Apostle. And then we have, four instrumentalists. We have two flutes, oboe, and then bass player.
And it's not just an English type of presentation. From what
That's
I understand,
yes.
Multicultural.
Yes. Correct. We also do have, yes, indeed, we have the Karen community. The Karen community are worshiping at St. Casimir's now, and so they're going to sing one of their songs. And, of course, they are refugees from Burma. And then we have the Hmong community who worship at the clustered parish of St. Patrick's, and they're going to come and do one of their songs, and these are, of course, hymns in praise of the Lord. So that will be very beautiful. Then we're also going to do the oldest known Polish hymn, Bogorodzica, Born of God, a song to the Blessed Virgin Mary, which comes from the 14th century. We'll do that, and also a beautiful song from Latin America called Gracias a la Vida. So we want to, you know, represent the different cultures from that area. The East Side, we have the Hispanic, we have the Hmong, we have the Karen now, and of course we have the Polish people at St. Casimir's.
All right. And Palm Sunday, March 29th, it'll be 3 p.m. at St. Casimir. Where's St. Casimir again?
Yeah, St. Casimir's on the East Side. It's, for those who don't know, 35E, you just go to Maryland and go east on Maryland, go to Forest Street, and go south on Forest, and the church is just down five blocks.
Great. Great, great. Well, Bob, I know you've got a busy schedule today, and I thank you for taking a couple minutes to tell us about the passion play. And we're going to close out here with you. We're going to be back with some big announcements, some things coming up in the Twin Cities. But this is a song taken from your passion play. It's Mary's Lament. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We've been talking about redemptive suffering, and boy, I sure encourage you today once again, whatever you're going through in the Twin Cities today, or you're listening on the web from around the world, that today, if you are experiencing a less than ideal day, you can offer that up in union with Christ. We will not have a show next week, so I'm going to say right now, may you have a really, really blessed Holy Week, and may it really be meaningful and really exercise your will in offering up your suffering with the suffering of Christ. So, Paul, we've got some big things happening in the Twin Cities.
We do. Curtis Martin, founder of Focus, and Father Thomas Loya will be the keynote speakers for the Live Family Expo, dynamic conference on strengthening marriages and families, Friday and Saturday, April 10th and 11th. That's at St. Raphael in Crystal. Bishop Andrew Cousins will celebrate Mass Friday evening. That's followed by an award reception and talk by Curtis Martin. Saturday features workshops with practical ideas for parishes and families, along with Father Tom Loya's presentation. More information on the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org.
A Divine Mercy Day of Retreat will be held at Holy Family Church in St. Louis Park on Saturday, April 11th. Dr. Margaret Schlentz, a leading figure in the integration of psychology and spirituality, will be giving two conferences. The day begins at 9 a.m. with Mass and concludes at 3 p.m. with benediction and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. This event is free and open to everyone. For more information, you can go to hfcmn.org. That's hfcmn.org, or call Holy Family at 952-929-0113.
Divine Mercy Sunday devotions will be held at St. John the Baptist in Excelsior on Sunday, April 12th at 3 p.m. Come for adoration, confessions, and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, followed by refreshments. Find out more. Contact the parish, 952-474-8868. That's 952-474-8868.
Men on a Mission will feature Dr. Peter Damgaard Hansen Friday, April 10th at 7 a.m. at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Bloomington. His talk is titled, "It Is Not Good for Man to Be Alone, But It Is Not Easy for Man to Be with Someone Either." For more information and to register, go to spoweb.org and click the On Mission tab.
Holy Childhood Catholic Church in St. Paul presents the 8th Annual Latin American Feast of the Golden Fork, Saturday, April 11th. 7-course meal and red and white South American wine will be served. To make reservations, call the parish office, 651-644-7495. That's 651-644-7495.
Human Life Alliance, that's Human Life Alliance, welcomes Vicki Thorne, founder of Project Rachel, to Hot Topics at Rose Vine Hall in Roseville. An after-work reception with complimentary hors d'oeuvres Thursday, April 16th from 4 to 7 p.m. Vicki is an international speaker on post-abortion healing and the biology of bonding and attachment in couples. Cost is $10. To RSVP, call Human Life Alliance at 651-484-1040. That's 651-484-1040.
And come and hear Dr. Janet Smith at the Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture Thursday, April 16th at the OEC Auditorium on the St. Paul campus of the University of St. Thomas. The event begins 7:30. Dr. Smith speaks on the real meaning of a responsible parenthood. Find out more, visit events at the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. And coming up in a couple of weeks on the Rediscover
Hour.
That's
right, coming up in a couple of weeks on the next Rediscover Hour, that's April 10th, we will have a talk about parenting. We're going to hear from international speaker Dr. Janet Smith, who's serving a third term as consultor to the Pontifical Council on the Family. We're also going to have Dr. Ray Guarendi.
I love Dr. Ray.
He's going to be great. He's the father of 10, a clinical psychologist. We're going to ask him some tough questions about his book and his experience, You're a Better Parent Than You Think. So that's Dr. Janet Smith and Dr. Ray Guarendi coming up next. We'll talk about parenting on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.